John chapter 15 this morning we're in, and our message this morning is somewhat of a follow-up on last week. We'll mention that in just a few minutes. John chapter 15, we all read together. The Lord Jesus said to the disciples on the night before he was crucified, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." And then he said, further on down, he says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." This is a very important chapter in the Word of God, the vine and the branches chapter. Very important. In fact, you'll remember that the Lord Jesus said this, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." We normally say when we trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior that we receive life in two kinds of life. We receive eternal life. You receive Christ as your Savior, and God's life comes in you, and you will live with the Lord forever. Nothing can take that away from you. But you also realize that in your yieldedness to Jesus Christ, you can enjoy an abundant life. And all of us probably understand that sometimes in the Christian life, things don't go the way we anticipate, and the Christian life for some people can be quite a struggle. I'm going to mention an illustration of this in just a minute. But God does want us to have an abundant life. I remember, by the way, in New York, there was a man in the church. His name was John Lord. And John said, I need to tell you how I came to faith in Christ. He said, I was driving a cab in Florida. And he said, this guy sitting in the back seat leaned up, like we do when we're in Chicago with those cabs, you know. And he leaned forward and he said, but we don't use this term, but he said, "Are you having an abundant life?" And John Lord started laughing. "You don't want to hear about my life." Well, then the man actually led John to faith in Jesus Christ. John was going through a very difficult time in his life and experience. And John said, "That's the verse, I am come that you might have life more," that the man used. He said, "I had never heard that verse before, because my life isn't what I really wanted it to be until I came to faith in Jesus Christ." And John trusted Christ, his wife trusted Christ, his daughter trusted Christ, and his son trusted Christ. It's amazing how it went on and on. But the Lord does want us to experience an abundant life. And this abundant life occurs when we yield ourselves to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to be explaining this in detail. The abundant life could also be called, stay with me on this now, the exchange life. And this is a term that was used by J. Hudson Taylor, who lived 1832 to 1905. Now, there's a reason I'm mentioning Hudson Taylor. By the way, he was burdened for China. And we should be burdened for China today. 1 billion people in China, and multitudes, the great majority of people there, do not know Christ as Lord and Savior. Although the church in China is growing by leaps and bounds. But J. Hudson Taylor, who served the Lord faithfully, now remember, he's saved, and he's actually on the mission field in China from England. He's on the mission field. And he said to his friend, he wrote his friend a letter, and he said this. He said, "I am striving, I'm struggling, I'm discouraged. I love what I do, but," he said, "I'm just not enjoying the Christian life that I should." So his friend writes back to him, and he says, "Hudson Taylor," he says, "you need to," this is exactly what he told him, he said, "you need to look up. You need to let the face of Jesus shine upon you. Is Jesus worried, troubled, and distressed?" Of course, he knew the answer to that. And he said, "I began to think about it. And I began to think about the verse like it says in John 15, I am the vine and you are the branches." So Hudson Taylor, now remember, he's already saved. He's already out on the mission field. But he's experiencing discouragement. He says to himself, "I am not drawing upon Jesus Christ, who is the vine, and I'm a branch. I am not drawing from him the things that I need in my Christian life." Now, that is a powerful testimony, by the way. And he's the one that first used the verse, the terminology, the exchange life. Now, that comes from Galatians 2:20. Some of you know the verse. Let me say it, and then we'll explain it. In Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So here's the exchanged life in Galatians 2:20. You see, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, he lives within you. He's the vine and we're the branches. And we've got to be drawing from the Lord our strength. We're going to tell you how to do this in just a few minutes. We've got to make sure that we're not just relying upon, well, you know, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, and I can do this and I can do that. The Lord wants us to do ultimately everything through his strength and through his help. And we'll define this out in just a few minutes. So Hudson Taylor, here's a man on the field, here's a man who knows Christ, who's a man who's actually sometimes leading people to Christ, although the field was very difficult to serve in at first. He said, I need to get a deeper life with the Lord. And so his friend told him about the exchanged life, and he used that terminology. That's the first time it probably appeared. So Jesus, in turn, says, I'm the vine, you're the branches, and I want you to draw from me. Now, that's an interesting analogy. Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and here are we living in Louisville or the area here, and we are connected, vitally connected to Jesus Christ. So if we're vitally connected to Jesus Christ, that means we got some tremendous resources, as Joe mentioned last week. We have some tremendous resources we're going to talk about in just a couple minutes. It's amazing the analogies that are used in Scripture which link up you and I with God. You and I know that there are multitudes of people who do not know God, and you and I know as well that there are multitudes of people, even here in America, who are biblically illiterate. That means that they really don't know what the Bible says. Now, thank the Lord for young Christians and Christians who are saying, you know, I'm getting into the Bible more now than I ever have before. But there are multitudes of people in America who do not understand the Word of God and don't know the value of this book that we have, or if it's on your cell phone, what's on your cell phone if you had the Bible on your cell phone. There are tremendous analogies given in the Word of God to depict your and my relationship with the Lord. I'm just going to mention them briefly. The first one is the fact that God is our Heavenly Father, and he is watching over us. And sometimes we can forget this. In our Sunday school class this morning, we have a great teacher in our class. He said to us, we have to remember our position in Christ. We have to constantly remind ourselves that we belong to Christ, that we've been joined to Jesus Christ. Well, we've been joined to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all three persons of the Godhead. And so when we pray, Jesus taught us to pray, and we pray, our Father in heaven, holy is your name. And when you bring your request to the Lord, it is amazing what God does. And we'll talk about this in a little bit too. So he's our Heavenly Father. We are his children. He's our King. The passage in Colossians chapter 1 says, we've been brought out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. And we now, as believers, we're in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God starts here when you trust Christ, and you will forever be in the kingdom of God in glory. The third illustration, and there's a lot of them, is the fact that he's the shepherd and we're the sheep. And Psalm 23, verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And when you go down through Psalm 23, it tells all the things that the Lord wants to do for us. I mean, he wants us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. He takes care of us in the presence of our enemies. Why? Because he's the shepherd, and we're his sheep. Wow, what a reminder. Whoa, it's powerful. I think I'll stop there, but there's so many, many others. Jesus now said in John 15, he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, or the gardener, as it says in the NIV. Every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away or he lifts up, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that I might bear more fruit. And we'll get into that in just a minute. When Jesus said he's the true vine, he was saying that he is the original. He is the original one who is the one who sustains his people. Okay, the symbolism of the vine and the branches is similar to Christ being the head of the church, and we are the body of Christ. And we allow Him to direct our lives. The head gives direction to the rest of the body. And so that's why when we come to church like this, we pray, we talk to the Lord. Lord, this is Your church. We are Your people. We're the body of Christ. So this is, again, touching upon the fact that we have a living, vital relationship with God. You and I, you're joined to God, and no one is going to take that away from you, by the way. You say, and I've heard people say, well, can I, as a Christian, can I fall away from the Lord? Oh, yeah, you can fall away from the Lord. You can definitely fall away from the Lord. But you don't lose your salvation. Because Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone take them out of my hands. So when Jesus says, I'm the true vine, he's talking about this living relationship. He says, the Father is the vine dresser, or the gardener, as it says in the NIV. And purpose of the gardener, or the vine dresser. By the way, some of you have been in a situation where you've been amongst vines and grapes that are growing, but some of you probably never have been in this situation. We had a lot of vines in upstate New York. You could drive along the interstate there, I forget the number, and you could see all these vineyards on both sides of the highway. And Fredericksburg. Some of you like to go down to Fredericksburg. Fredericksburg, man, I have never seen so many vineyards. We went there 30 years ago, and we never even saw one that I can remember. Now they're all over the place, vineyards. And it's interesting. Vineyards were abundant in Israel when Jesus used this analogy. And the fruit of the vineyard, of course, it would be the grape, which was good for grape juice, for wine, and grapes. And today we make raisins. Very profitable produce, to say the least. Well, the vine dresser, his task was to make sure that the plants were taken care of, that when they grew, they didn't just flop on the ground. There were trellises that lifted them up. And the vine dresser, if he was doing a good job, would make sure that these plants were up on the trestles and or were propped up, so that the sunlight could get in there and there would be a tremendous amount of fruit. And, you know, there's an analogy there. The Lord is watching over you and me, and He wants us to continue to grow spiritually because He wants to see fruit in our lives for His glory. And He's going to watch after you. You may think there's times when God's not working in your life. I think every Christian kind of goes through that once in a while. Well, he's working with this person and he's working with this. He's not really doing that much in our lives now. But the text of Scripture says, if you know Jesus as your Savior, He's working in your life. And you may not be seeing all the things that you would like to see, but Philippians 2:13 says, it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So when you head on home today, and when you're watching that game this afternoon, the Lord's watching after you, and He loves you, and He wants to use you for His glory. And that's the vine dresser, God the Father. Now, last Sunday, Joe mentioned, and he took us into 2 Peter chapter 1. He said this, and this was profound, by the way. And I'm going to kind of talk about just a little bit. Joe said this, quote, last Sunday, intimacy with Christ keeps us from defecting from the faith. Repeat. Intimacy with Christ keeps us from defecting from the faith. You see, there are some people who came to church like you do this morning. There's some people who maybe they trusted Christ as their Savior, but they kind of fallen away. Well, why did they fall away? Because they didn't develop their intimacy or their closeness with the Lord. And boy, I'm telling you, if you neglect your Bible, if you neglect prayer, if you neglect fellowship with other people, you can start falling away from the Lord. And by the way, this is what Satan likes. He likes Christians to kind of get farther and farther away from the Lord, where you feel, you know, I don't even know if God loves me, and I don't know, you know, I don't know what He wants to do in my life. And you can really move away from the Lord if you don't maintain that intimacy with Him. That was last Sunday. I'm going to repeat it again. Joe said, intimacy with Christ keeps us from defecting from the faith. You see, there's some people who gave up on the Christian life because, well, God, you know, God didn't answer this prayer. Hey, all of us could probably give testimonies of some things, maybe even some big things in your life where you were asking God to do something and it didn't happen. But it doesn't mean God didn't answer your prayer. You see, when God answers prayer, he answers in four ways. We like the first one where he says, yes, you want that new car? I'm going to help you get that new car. You know. Sometimes he says no. And we don't like no's. You know, when we were growing up as kids, did we like mom and dad to say no? Of course not. But sometimes the Lord has something better for us, and he may say no to our prayer request. It doesn't mean he's not answering your prayer request, because what God does is he always keeps working out his will, Philippians 2:13 again. And then sometimes he says, wait. And you ask the Lord for something, and sometimes the Lord says, you're going to have it, but it's not going to be today, tomorrow, next month. And then the last one, sometimes he changes what we're asking for. You know, in fact, a verse of Scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, when it says he'll give you the desires of your heart, it doesn't mean if you have these desires up here like, okay, Lord, about this new car I'd like to have, I'd like it to be a Cadillac. You know, the Lord may not give you the Cadillac, but he may help you get another car. Okay? So, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. The desires would be proper desires. Lord, help me to be satisfied with the amount of money you help me to pull together so that I can buy another car. Jesus said, abide in me. And this is how we maintain that intimacy with the Lord. Abide in me, verse 4, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now that word abide, by the way, is a command. When you leave the service, I hope you'll remember throughout the day and the coming week that the main idea, the main responsibility that God gives to us as his people is that we are to abide in Christ. And I need to learn to do that to have an abundant life, as we mentioned in the beginning of the service. A branch abides in the vine by drawing all its life and nourishment from the vine. And likewise, you and I as believers, we draw upon, you say, well, I already have life in Christ. That's true. But you want to have an abundant life. And you want to draw from Christ the life that will allow you to be a fruitful branch. That there'll be a lot of grapes on the branch. And how do we do that? We spend time in prayer. Now, I'm not here to put guilt complexes on you. But it is important that we understand that if we're not praying believers, again, we can slide over here where we defect from the faith. Defect means, I didn't say lose your salvation, but you kind of get away from growing in the Lord, and your Bible isn't open during the week. We must abide in Christ, and we do this by, first of all, our prayer time. I read this little thing this past week of Satan had a little gathering together with demons. And this is fiction, by the way, but it could have happened. Satan and demons got together, and how can we disrupt these believers on planet Earth here? How can we disrupt them? What can we do to really knock them out of the game of their Christian life? And the demons thought it over and said, maybe we should do this, maybe we should. And one of them spoke up and said, let's keep them from prayer. Let's let them think that their prayers won't accomplish anything. Let's let them get discouraged with regards to prayer. And Satan knows how to do that. You know, we bring things before the Lord. We don't see him answer exactly the way we would like to. And we get discouraged with relationship to prayer. The Word of God. We have to stay in the Word of God in order to draw from the vine. It's very important that we read the Bible and we pray. Fellowship with other believers. When you leave the service this morning, try not to go out too fast. You know, say, greet at least others. Maybe you say, I don't know too many people. Greet others and say hi. And we need the fellowship with one another. Next Sunday, commercial for the youth. They'll pay me later. Next Sunday after the service, we will have an opportunity to be back in here and to share a meal together. So abiding in Christ, it means that we need to have constant contact with our Lord. That's the idea here. Let me mention just briefly, time's slipping by here. What are the, how do we know? All right, these are the couple questions I thought you would ask yourself. How do I know when I'm abiding in Christ? I get the point. I need to remember that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I need to remember that I am to live an exchanged Christian life. Christ now lives in me. So how do I live this abundant? How do I know I'm abiding in Christ? Well, when you're abiding in Christ, verse 2 says, you will be producing fruit for the Lord. Now, I'm going to explain this fruit in just a minute. This fruit for the Lord is not only bringing someone else to Jesus. It's not only your soul winning, your personal witness for God. But God will use you as a believer to bring others to Himself. Or God will use you to encourage another Christian. Or even sow the seed in the life of someone who doesn't yet know Christ. So when you're abiding in Christ, there will be fruit. We're going to talk about this fruit in just a minute. Secondly, you will experience the Father's pruning. Did you notice that in verse 2? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Some translations say He lifts up. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes. Prunes. Some of you don't like prunes. You're with me. We don't like pruning. Pruning. Okay? You've pruned your rose bushes, and probably none of us have pruned vineyards. Let me find out. Anybody here have a vineyard in your backyard and you've pruned a vineyard? No. Don Willis, that's right, when you used to live in Flower Mound. Now there's houses all over that place. No more grapes. Grapes of wrath have come. No, I'm just kidding. The Father prunes. And all that passage means is this, that the Lord can allow sometimes some difficult things to come into our lives that we might push things out of our lives that don't need to be there. We need to be very careful. He loves you very much. Don't ever think that God is, quote, in the wrong sense, punishing you. In fact, it says in Hebrews chapter 13, He is chastening us, and the ideas involved were His children child training us. And He does allow difficult things to come into our lives so that we will weed out those things that will keep us from enjoying the abundant life, the exchange life. So He prunes. That's how you know. If you've gone through some difficult times and you say, you know, the Lord has allowed some pretty difficult things to come into my life, that's because He may have wanted something to come out of your life. He may have wanted a habit, some situation. God is watching over you. You're His child. And be encouraged in that. So you know you're abiding if you're experiencing some tough times sometimes. Thirdly, you know that you're abiding in Christ when you find answers to prayer. 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now that's a huge promise from the Lord. And by the way, there are huge promises in the Word of God with regards to prayer. And that's why, remember we mentioned earlier, Satan doesn't want you praying. He doesn't want you praying about your job. He wants you to go on the job and experience frustration, the people you work with. Satan is, you say, well, is it Satan himself? Well, it's Satan and demonic forces. He doesn't want you praying. Because if you pray and you're abiding in Christ, you're going to see answers. Now, answers again, four kinds. Sometimes He says yes, sometimes He says no, sometimes He says wait a while, sometimes He answers your prayer in a different way that's going to help you, not hurt you, not hinder you. The fourth way we know we're abiding in Christ is spelled out in the passage as well. Verses 12 and 13, you're going to have a deeper love for Christ. 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one this than to lay down his life for his friends. And you and I know that Jesus went to the cross for us. And you've heard this said too, and you think, well, you know, maybe that's true. Maybe it's true. Jesus went to the cross for you. He's able to look down the halls of time and see that you needed a Savior, and Jesus died on the cross for you. By the way, that's the reason you're saved this morning. I remember I was 8 years of age, maybe a little younger, my mom says, when I realized I was a sinner, and Jesus died on that cross for me. And this is the way you know you're abiding in Christ, when your love for Christ just gets deeper and deeper, and you say, you know, Lord, I know you're there for me. I know you gave your life for me, and I want to grow in my relationship with you. I do want to experience abundant life. And let me make this clear so you don't have the wrong impression. Abundant life doesn't mean there won't be trials, but it does mean that God's going to allow you to bear fruit. The last one is found in verse 11, where it says 15:11. Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might abide or remain in you, that your joy might be full. And this is important. The Lord doesn't want us to be sad people. You know, I'm trying to be serious on this. One of the ways you know that you're abiding in Christ and you're drawing from Him is that you have joy. I've been with people who've gone through, some of you have too, by the way, the deepest trials, and they have joy in their hearts. Now, it doesn't mean they're happy and giddy. I'm not saying that. I remember in New York, a guy called me up, and he said, can you come over? I'm on my lunch break at, I think it was 12 o'clock. I went over, and I met him on the parking lot, and this guy was going through huge trials. But he said, you know, I woke up in the night, and I sat down, and I wrote this little chorus. And he said, can I sing it to you? And I said, of course. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe that this man went through this huge trial and the Lord still put joy in his heart. He said, you know, I know the Lord knows this is happening to me and he's going to take care of me. Wow, what a testimony. The fruit, just very, very quickly. The fruit, very quickly. The fruit is more than just bringing others to faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, keep this in mind. The fruit and good works in Scripture are used interchangeably. I'll mention the verse, don't have time to spend time on it. Titus 2:14 says, and let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs that they may not be unfruitful. So it's amazing when you look into Scripture and you find the kind of fruit that brings honor and glory to your Lord and your Savior. There are a number of things. There are a number of examples. Good works. Things that you do for the Lord. Now, it's not only just doing good works. It's not just giving to the poor. It's when you do something for somebody in order to please God. You want to help somebody. You want to call somebody up. I jotted some of these things down. When you take food to someone who's not well, that's fruit for the Lord. You make a meal and you take it to somebody that they've not been well, that's fruit for the Lord. When you check on somebody, you know, you haven't seen them for a while, so you say, hey, how you doing? That's fruit for the Lord, because you're doing that and brings honor and glory to the Lord. Even someone, of course, like our own Reuben Musimi, who went back to Africa. And when he first started back there, he had, 13 kids in his orphanage, and now it's up to, 200 plus, something like that, or higher. That's serving the Lord. You see, Jesus said this, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. Repeat verse. You need to hear this. We who are here this morning, who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the body of believers all over the world, people who know Christ, they've already been saved. You got to realize when you're driving home that you have been chosen by the Lord. You're His child. You are the branch and He is the vine. And He wants you to draw from Him. John 15:16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Wow. Be encouraged that the Lord has chosen you not only to have a relationship with God and have eternal life, but the Lord wants you to have an abundant life. But you have to, in your mind and heart, say, I am going to do my best to abide in Christ, to draw from Christ, who is the vine, and I'm the branch, and I want to have fruit for the Lord. I'm going to do my best to stay in the Word of God, to pray as I should, to worship with others, to fellowship with God's people, so that I might bear fruit for Him. You know, on this fruit thing, it's amazing how many people down through the years have talked about this. Someone was talking to Abraham Lincoln one time. I like what he said. Sometimes we wonder, we talked about the will of God a couple Sundays ago. We want to be doing the will of God. There's fruit that God wants us to bear. And sometimes Christians will say, how do I know that this is something God wants me to do? Not like, how do I know He wants me to sign up for tamales? You can work on that. How do I know that this is something God wants me to do? Here we go. Listen to what Abraham Lincoln said. Abraham Lincoln said, I am satisfied that when the Almighty wants me to do or not to do any particular thing, He finds a way of letting me know. I thought that was neat. Abraham Lincoln, when God wants me to do something, He has a way of letting you know. Lastly, before we close in prayer, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. And the Holy Spirit sometimes will literally speak to your heart and say, do this as fruit for my glory. Let's pray together.